You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to The Wire for Rapere Thursday. Concerns have been raised once more this week around youth vaping culture in Aotearoa, this time sparked by black market accessibility to vapes and the normalisation of vaping for our rangatahi. I spoke to Dr. Hayden McRobbie, a regional director at Te Whatu Ora, to discuss the relationship between existing smoke-free Aotearoa campaigns and prevention initiatives targeted at youth vaping culture. How appropriate and transferable are campaigns and approaches originally designed for smoke-free Aotearoa in addressing prevention of youth vaping culture?
Well, there are some similarities in the approaches that prevent youth uptake of smoking and vaping. For example, we know that peer influence is a factor observed in the uptake of both of those behaviours. However, what we do know is that the best campaigns and approaches are ones where young people have been involved from the very beginning in development and design.
And where has it become most obvious that vaping culture differs from traditional cigarette smoking culture when implementing and facilitating prevention action?
It's a good question, and there are certainly some differences, I think, between how we might approach vaping prevention versus smoking prevention. But we do have some examples from the work that was undertaken in the Protect Your Breath campaign, which is a youth vaping campaign. And in this, young people told us that for them, vaping serves as a coping mechanism, at least for some young people. Reactions to vaping can impact the way that young people see themselves, both now and sort of into the future. They also told us that vapes were quite easily accessible and often shared among friends, and that vaping may, for some people, be just a phase. But we also heard from young people that they didn't like the idea of non-vapers starting to vape, which is a good sign. But young people also wanted to be able to make informed decisions, and they were a little bit distrustful of, you know, quit vape campaigns and conversations, viewing them as a bit, you know, superficial and scaremongering. So we really need to be careful about the way we come across to young people, and the best campaigns are really those that involve young people from the very beginning.
And what pressure does the inclusion of vaping prevention as a responsibility or a similar subset to smoke-free Aotearoa put on resources required for facilitating effective change in this area?
We in the health sector are really concerned about youth vaping, especially regular vaping among young people who have never smoked. So look, we're working collaboratively to prevent youth uptake of vaping and smoking, and including work with our colleagues in education. I think it's fair to say there's a range of expertise right across the system that can support this mahi within existing resources. And we have seen daily vaping rates stabilise. We know this from the ASH Year 10 survey, and the most recent data show that daily vaping rates have not gone up anymore, but they're still high at 10%. The good news, though, is that daily smoking remains low at around 1% in this age group.
And what further youth-led action and health promotion approaches to address vaping prevention for rangatahi would you consider?
Well, I want to return to the work that we've done with rangatahi to develop approaches and the insights that we've gathered from our previous campaigns. And what we've learned from young people is that any campaigns and future vaping prevention messages really need to focus on three things. One, we need to encourage young people to reflect on their values, their culture, strengths, goals and aspirations, because this can help them build confidence in the choices they make. We also need to provide useful, non-judgmental information to young people. So that enables them to make a decision on their own. And thirdly, we also need to illustrate the role that whānau and community play in the decisions that young people make and how they feel about themselves. So this is really a package that involves young people, encourages them to reflect on their values, their strengths, and provide evidence-based information to young people to help them make their own choices.
And are there any specific campaigns harnessing those approaches that you and Te Whatu Ora have upcoming?
Well, we're really still rolling out the Protect Your Breath campaign. So that's a really important campaign that started last year and is still ongoing in this space. But we need to continue to work closely with our colleagues across Te Whatu Ora and within education to address vaping prevention. And we know that schools are a useful setting, carefully designed interventions with accurate measures, and these can deter youth from picking up vaping with minimal impact on adults who want to use vaping as a quit smoking tool. So we've got to keep that balance of approach and we'll be working closely over the coming months to continue this work.
I also spoke with Sharon Pihima of Ngāti Porou. Sharon is a Māori community liaison and youth educator at the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation, sharing her thoughts on current approaches to intervention and prevention of youth vaping. Where does the responsibility lie for taking action to intervene in rangatahi vaping culture?
Yeah, responsibility ultimately has to lie with government. They're the entity that are tasked with setting the legislation and the regulatory requirements. They play a huge role in ensuring that retailers are following the legislation and complying with all of the rules that they need to comply with. And I think, unfortunately, the situation that we're in now is because we haven't had strong policy around vaping, we have the situation with a lot of our rangatahi and tamariki vaping and schools struggling with it, whānau struggling with it, and trying to figure out what we're going to do around this whole situation.
And how has your mahi with the Foundation's educational visits to schools been received by students?
Yeah, really well, actually. We get a really good response from students and from the teachers and the school principals as well. So I've been doing this work for nearly 2 years, visiting schools around the motu, and we recently were able to appoint a youth vaping educator to cover the Auckland Northland region as well. And schools are fantastic. You know, they have been struggling with this issue for nearly 5 years now, and it's really great to be able to go in there and offer them something useful and offer them support and manaaki to support their students and their wider school community on this issue.
And what are your thoughts on government approaches to intervention with policy so far?
Yeah, I think, honestly, government interventions have been really lacking to date. I mean, there's so many issues, so many gaps in the whole system. And I guess when you look at, we have over 1,500 specialist vape retailers across the country, and we have a proliferation of them in our vulnerable communities. And so it's become normal for our children to see vaping being sold, you know, at their dairy, on their way to school, on their way home, they're surrounded by it. And then I think the other issues are around the lack of monitoring and compliance. So there's a workforce shortage there, and that in some regions they don't have the staff to go out and check that the retailers are following the rules and behaving the way that they should be behaving in terms of only selling to people over the ages of 18. I think that, you know, we need better support for rangatahi and tamariki now who are wanting to quit vaping, because that's a huge gap in that if a young person decides they want to quit vaping, that there is no support for them, because currently the funding model is all focused on helping adults to quit smoking. And that's a huge issue across a lot of our communities around the country. And I think that, you know, we need to look at other ways of doing this. We need to have a look at the prescription model, which is what they have over in Australia, because what we have currently is just not working. And it's our children and our young people that are, you know, victims of this whole youth epidemic, if you like.
And what are your biggest concerns for our rangatahi if this issue continues to be inadequately addressed?
Yeah, it's actually quite scary when you get out into the community and they share their stories with you, because we do have a generation of young people with a nicotine addiction from vaping. You know, our rangatahi and our tamariki are not into smoking cigarettes. You ask them that question and they all say, you know, smoking's disgusting, it tastes yuck, it kills you. But unfortunately, we have a lot of them trying vaping, having access to vapes, and then over time becoming more dependent on the nicotine that they're getting from the vapes. So I think that's a big concern, and it's not just at a high school level. You know, it's starting to happen a lot younger in primary school as well. And so I think that's something to be concerned about. And then, you know, the flow-on effect from that is potentially that our young people may then go on to, you know, now smoke cigarettes. And I think with the recent repeal on the smoke-free legislation, that's a very real situation that we could find ourselves in a few years' time.
That was Hayden McRobbie from Te Whatu Ora and Sharon Pihima from the Asthma and Respiratory Foundation, sharing their perspectives on the current initiatives to address youth vaping culture in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.